Normally, when I hear something, I go, where do you start? This one, I'm going to ask with George Carl, is where do I stop? Where do I stop attacking what was said in the media? It sounded to me that he was looking for ready-made players.
Rick Bucher.
I'm not going to pass judgment until I read the book, because I know from experience, whether it's a article, whether it's a magazine piece, whether it's certainly it's a book, that you can take excerpts and sometimes they're taken out of context. Now, obviously he said some really harsh things that any of us can react to, but I wonder what else was said. Like, you can take almost anything and isolate it, and people are going to go crazy over it. So I'm going to reserve judgment.
This is the BJ Armstrong and Rick Bucher Show, starring BJ and Bucher.
Welcome to the latest edition of the BJ and Bucher podcast, Four Quarters of Madness. I am Rick Bucher. He is BJ Armstrong. BJ, good to have you.
Happy New Year. You know, it looks like you've been out surfing a little bit.
I was able to do that. Yes. Yes.
You know, it's good to be around Rick Bucher right now.
I'll say this. If I get worked the way I did in the last trivia challenge, not just worked, but basically bamboozled the way I did in the last trivia challenge, this happy-go-lucky Rick Bucher will no longer be visible. But let's...
Well, by,
man, hey, whatever, you know, man. You just, but, yeah. Y'all some cry
babies. No.
By the way,
BJ cries about it. BJ cries about it. I protest something legitimate. And we'll get to this. We will get
Shane,
to this.
Shane, can I just say something? Because, you know, I'm going to be... this is going to be, you know, I'm trying to relax a little bit. Shane, can I get my gifts that Rick
Bucher...
I think he owes me two gifts.
No, you can't. No, I don't owe you two. I don't owe you two.
I sent you. Yep. I sent you one.
Can I get?
You don't even. You don't even tweet out your own gifts.
Hey, can I get my gifts, Shane? Shane, can I get my gifts?
You got.
Can
the
I
gifts.
Get my gifts? Can I but, get my gifts, Rick? Rick, I mean, just...
No. And
it's
you'll find
17.
Out. We got. Look, our warm up. We're way past our warm up.
Okay,
have to start the first quarter.
Rick, you can't start no argument, man. Don't finish it.
That's right. I told you we'd get to it later. This is the first quarter.
It's the Rick Bucher way.
That's right. It's the first quarter around the league, NBA news. A client of yours that made big news, Donatas Motiejunas, has now signed in the Big Easy with the New Orleans Pelicans. And this is what I find fascinating, BJ. The league didn't announce anything. You didn't announce anything. You haven't talked about it. And yet, we had a restricted free agent who didn't sign an offer sheet that wasn't matched by Houston. Actually, there was one that was matched by Houston. But then that went away. Then Houston was going to go back to the drawing board and negotiate something. And then suddenly, poof, he's an unrestricted free agent. And now he's playing for the New Orleans Pelicans. How did this magic happen, BJ?
Wow. That's a loaded question, Rick Bucher.
Yes, it
someday,
is. It's my
someday
specialty.
That's all going to... someday this will all go in the book.
Okay.
You know?
Wow.
This will all
the
go
Furious
in the
George book?
Book?
We're going to have a...
Yeah, this will be... Yeah, this is the bad boy DJ book. You know? How about that?
Oh, man.
We have a title.
I can't wait for that.
You can't wait for that. But in all seriousness, you know, New Orleans is a great place for him. He's really looking forward to it. And I just think it's a great opportunity for him to continue his career, move forward in this process. And it's been one that, you know, he's taken some twists and turns here. But in the end, it worked out the way it's supposed to work out. And he's happy to be down there. We're happy with the end result. And it gives him an opportunity to play on a team and compete and go out
minutes.
There and do what he does.
Minutes.
So and get
always
minutes. That's always
important.
So it's all with his caliber and the way he plays. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity, a great system for him, and you know, playing alongside Anthony Davis and the guys that they have down there, I think will be a good fit.
Okay.
For him.
So other news is Kyle Korver traded to the Cavaliers by the Atlanta Hawks. They give up Mike Dunleavy. They gave up a 2019 first round pick along with that,
wow.
From what I've seen, no protection on that. So
Right.
That is a loaded statement in terms of I guess, going for it now and where they expect to be in 2019. But all that said, what do you make of Kyle Korver being added to the Cavs? And let's face it, this is really an arms race between the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. We saw the Cavs win, come back to win on Christmas Day. How much does Kyle Korver change the dynamic for you?
Well, you know, before we get to that, the one thing I really love about this move for the Cavaliers is this is a now move. Mm-hmm. Let's go for it right now. This isn't about the future.
It's so rare that we see these, right, in the league today.
And that's sad, Rick, that we're saying that. It's so rare that we see a move that is expected to have, you know, results right now. So clearly,
right. Somebody's trying to win right now.
This is a
what a concept.
This is a basketball move. I respect that. Now, whether or not it works, hey, you know what? You're going to need a break here, break there, lucky shot or lucky or combinations, whatever it is. But I respect the fact that Kyle Korver was brought there with a purpose. We know why he was brought there, and he clearly knows what his role will be and what's expected of him on day one when he goes there. They're going to win, and they're going for it right now.
I'm a big Kyle Korver fan just because I think he's a good guy. I think he makes the most out of what he has. I don't think he has illusions about who he is and what his game is. All that said, I feel as if the Cavs in this move are more like the Warriors in that you have a guy, like it's we're fighting offense with offense, but Korver as much as he tries to do the right thing defensively, he's a liability defensively. So what I liked about Cleveland, what I thought that Cleveland had over the Warriors is that defensively, when they needed to lock down and get physical, they could do that. Korver kind of takes you the other direction. If you have Kyrie, Korver, Kevin Love, LeBron, and whoever the hell else you want to put out there, that to me is a potent offensive team in the same way that the Warriors are a potent offensive team with KD and Klay and Steph and Draymond and Andre Iguodala. But can they lock you down defensively? That's where I think it makes them better. I don't think it makes them invincible.
You know, people, when you first look at this and you glance at it, and I think there's been a lot of talk. Oh, offensively, this is what Kyle Korver brings. He brings this and that. The one thing that the Spurs and all the teams that have won championships understand this. Defense, the principles of defense, and finding space on the floor. Now, what Kyle Korver has done as I look at this matchup with the Warriors, he wasn't brought there really for offensive purposes, meaning he's going to score points. He wasn't even brought there really to, I don't know, how many shots is he really going to get with Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and LeBron on the floor? What he was brought there to do is to find space or create space on the floor so the other players can do what they do better. Remember, even though the Cavaliers won that game, the thing that was obvious to me as a fan of the game was the Warriors figured out how to make that game real small for the Cavaliers. There wasn't a lot of space on the floor. If you go back to that game, they were down 14 points. That could have easily been a 20 to 25 point game, blowout game.
I tweeted it out there. I said I felt like the Cavs were trying to keep a lid on the game.
Yes.
And the Warriors were trying to keep a lid on their emotions.
Yes. So to me, the Cavaliers after that game, even though they won, the Cavaliers were like, we better find another person that can get us some space on the floor because the Warriors can make adjustments. This is a 7-game series. The Warriors, I'm up 14 on the road. I feel pretty good about my chances of making the right adjustments in game two.
Right.
And that's what I think the Cavaliers saw. So I applaud that move that they made.
All right. Topic two. This is what I was really curious about. I wanted to ask you after the fact rather than before. We had the holiday games. We had 5 games on Christmas.
Right.
The first 2 games were good enough for me. After that, I thought we had 3, as I said, WTF games. Like, why are we even? I mean, the matchups didn't make any sense. It's you want marquee matchups. You want if it's gonna be Christmas. If you're gonna take time away from your family or your family's gonna watch, it's like give me a reason. So, but here's the question I have because I imagine you've played in Christmas Day games. You've played in holiday games. Like, I've always had mixed feelings. When I didn't have a family, I actually kind of enjoyed the pomp and circumstance and going out and covering a game or working a game, working sideline. Like it always felt like a big game on a holiday.
Right.
But now that I have a family, it's like, I got better things to do than work on Christmas. I mean, no matter how big the game is, but I wonder as a player, you know that everybody is watching. You know that because you're playing on Christmas, you're in a marquee game. Did you enjoy it? Or was it like, dude, I'd rather have the day. I'd rather have the holiday and at least have some semblance of a normal life.
And looking back on it, it was just kind of normal to be away during the holidays. I was always away since high school, you know, for Thanksgiving, Christmas. Just being away was part of...
You didn't go home for Thanksgiving?
No, we were always
in college.
We were always in the Maui Classic. You know, the things that you were sitting around.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm, you know, we're entertaining you.
No. See, I was work study, pal.
Yeah,
I was like tending. Yeah. I was doing receptions and hospitality, and I was bartending at these big to-dos.
Okay.
I didn't have the free ride,
but
pal.
Most of the country, you know, they're at home, and we were at the Maui Classic.
You were really grinding it out down in there in Hawaii. Boy, what a hardship on you.
Yeah.
Couldn't go home for Thanksgiving. Had to go to Hawaii and play hoops.
But, you know, you're away. And so being away was kind of the norm for me. Now that I'm older, you know, I've realized how much I missed being around family and all the things that I missed because I never was at home. I always was away playing and doing something. So the thing at the holidays... The only time that I felt sad or a little lonely was when you were in the hotel on Christmas and you're going to play a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're eating room service. You know, it was kind of like, all right, this is kind of a dysfunctional environment.
Yeah.
I always felt something was a little different because I was walking through the hotel lobby and I was the only person in the lobby. Everyone else was like with their family. And I always felt bad for the concierge and the people that were actually working in the hotels. Cause you're like, God, I know these people want to be at home too. That's the only time that it felt weird to me. You know, who's the guy driving the bus on Christmas to the game?
He's working overtime.
He's working overtime. So I recognized it, but it was like one of those things that I was like immune to it after a while because that was just normal that every year we were going to play on Christmas when I was in Chicago and we're going to be away for Thanksgiving and you're going to be away for the holidays.
Let's move on to the second quarter. NBA Madness is Zaza Pachulia.
Oh.
We knew that the Warriors were chock full of all-stars. We just didn't know that their center, starting center Zaza Pachulia, the biggest dome in the NBA without question, was going to be among them. And yet, Zaza Pachulia has more all-star fan votes right now than every West Coast front court candidate except Kevin Durant. And that means, yes, more than Draymond Green. So, do you just look at this, BJ, and, you know...
Where is he from? Georgia? Is that where he's from?
Yes, Georgia. Not the state, the country. Yes.
Thank you for clarifying.
I think it's important.
You know what? When they started doing this online voting...
Yes.
I remember thinking, okay, what is Yao Ming really doing? Like, what's the organization doing that none of us know what's going on? Because last year, if I recall, Zaza...
Yeah, Zaza got a lot of votes last year, too, I want to say.
When he was with the Mavericks. So my thing is, Shane, how can you and I get all of these followers? Because he clearly has an audience. What's his marketing and PR campaign? I want to get in on this. Because this guy has some type of campaign that's really like, it's an underground movement.
Do we really want to go into this conversation on the podcast? We don't have enough time.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, from my perspective, and I've already talked to like three people today about this, and everybody's like, how the hell is Zaza Pachulia getting? Seriously.
We don't, we have the clean version.
Hey, man, like I'm trying to figure this.
That
junk,
was the old podcast
hey, man, this is
that we
pissing
were doing.
Me off, because I'm like, hold on a second. What did Zaza do to deserve an all-star anything? Like, what is he doing? Like, other than having the biggest head in the NBA. I mean, what is he doing? He ain't doing nothing.
Like, it would be great. I you know, he's got my vote. I'm like the rest of the world. I'm retweeting for the guy. I'm retweeting for him now.
Man, he in the NBA because he's tall, man. That's it.
Seriously, though, do you look at like all-star recognition different today versus, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's a big basketball fan, and he was saying, you know, he remembers the days when the only way you voted is you have to go to a game,
right,
and you got your little ballot and you punched your little holes and then you turned in the ballot. And so you had, first of all, the only people that were voting were people that were actually going to games.
Right.
So they were watching.
Right.
And they could only, you know, vote when they went to a game. You couldn't. Now, online, you can vote every day from the day that it opens to the very end. And you don't have to go to a game. You don't have to know anything about the game. You can just go online and start punching buttons and do that every day. So I just wonder for you, BJ, has your view of all-star recognition, what it means to be an all-star, or when a guy is an all-star, before all this now, did it have more meaning? Did it have more value? Or has it always been sort of a celebrity popularity contest?
Well, I think it's always has been. But I think you have to take in the fact what technology has done. It's, you know, there was a sense of responsibility that you had, Rick, when you went to the game and you're there and you picked up that card. And I remember, you know, as doing it as a kid, and you, like, you took that card and you debated, like, who am I really going to cast my vote for? Now you're sitting at home, you're punching buttons, and I think it's become sophisticated marketing and PR. Hmm. And, you know, we're voting in players that haven't even played. We're voting in players who were hurt and injured and weren't even...
Yeah, but they took a tour of Taiwan, China,
exactly,
and the Philippines last summer. So.
Exactly. I first became aware of it with Yao Ming. Yao Ming, he was getting... I was like, wow, like... This guy was like, you know, one year he was hurt and he led the voting, the whole process.
Yeah. Well, he was an all-star. He was an all-star every year that he played.
I just think now, you know, whatever he's doing, I want to know what's going on in Georgia. I think it's fabulous PR, fabulous marketing. He has an underground movement. I want to be a part of it.
You know, it's going to be interesting. We have to move on to our halftime show extravaganza. But before we do that, what's going to be interesting is the fact that they are going to, this is the first year where 25% of the vote comes from the media, 25% comes from the players. They are going to give us fan updates as they do on a weekly or every other week basis. And then at the very end, the players and the media will vote. And that's 50%
of the vote. Who are you voting for? Let's get to this. This is juicy. Who are you?
Oh, I guarantee you, Zaza Pachulia is going to be right at the top of my ballot.
Who are you voting for, Rick? I mean, come on. Let's get to this. Who are you voting for, Rick?
Yeah, who are you voting for, Rick? Come on, give it to us, Rick.
I don't have to disclose that now. I don't have to disclose that
yet. It's great for the podcast. We need to know who you're voting for.
Yeah. Well, it'll be great for a future podcast because it's not happening on this one.
Come on, Rick.
What are you going to pressure me into this? By the way, I don't want to overlook the fact that you're wearing your Detroit Lions hoodie. You finally got a chance to break that out. That thing looks like it's about 25 years old. This is the first time you had reason to wear it this late in the season. Like, maybe ever. And that thing's going right back in the closet in about 3 days.
Hey. See, I didn't show up after, you know, we win and all that. No, this is what we do in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, you know what? This is the first time I've seen you wear that ever.
Hey, right. I'm repping all of Detroit. The Tigers, Lions, Red Wings. Even I got to go with the Pistons. I was the only guy in the NBA where my parents would come to the game and would root for the home team in the playoffs. I played against the Detroit Pistons, and my parents would have on Detroit Pistons jerseys rooting for Isaiah Thomas and the Bad Boys, and I'm playing for the Bulls. True story, by the way.
All part of the psychological profile. It's all going to be in the Big Bad BJ book coming up.
I would go home and my parents would be like, they wouldn't talk to me. You ruined our day. I was like, what do you mean? I'm like, we just won. We're going to the finals. They were like, you know how Isaiah walked by, you know how Isaiah walked by us and wouldn't talk to us? My parents wouldn't talk to me for like a week. You know what I mean? Like, they went, so, you know, that's cool though.
And now we know why you didn't miss being home for Thanksgiving and Christmas. There you go. Like, room service, you know, ain't that bad. At least they're not going to boo me like my parents did.
Oh, my parents were booing me. My dad called me after Green Bay beat us last week. I'm still a little salty about that. Like, we lose on Sunday, and my dad calls me like, hey, your phone don't work? You're not paying your phone bill anymore? I was like, the guy's like, I'm like, you live in Detroit. And he's like, hey, why do you torture yourself like that? So this is what we do in Detroit. We're gonna root for our guys. We're going to pull for our guys. And, you know.
All right, halftime is here. Enjoy our musical entertainment.
What are you doing? It's just a halftime.
Yes, this is my favorite part of the game.
All right, guys, this is Shane. This is the Halftime Break on the BJ and Bucher podcast. And today, we have a classic for you guys. Ain't Nothing But a G Thing by Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. Hope you guys enjoy it.
One, two, bring it to the phone. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dope, ready to make an entrance, so back on up.
Before I have to pull the strap off the cut,
give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble, cause ain't nothing but a G-bang, baby. Two low-def G, so we crazy. Death Row is the label that pays, man. Unfadable, so please don't try to fake this. But back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfected, so I'm a lad, I'm understanding. From a young G's perspective, and before me, they got a trick, I have to find a contraceptive. You never know, she could be earning her man, and learning her man, and at the same time, burning her man. Now when she burning, I'ma chill for a minute, cause ain't no loving good enough to get burned while I'm offended.
Yeah.
And that's realer than real deal, Holyfield. And now you hookers and hoes know how I feel. Well, if it's good enough to get off a proper chunk, I'll take a small piece of some of that funky stuff. It's like this and like that and like this and it's like that and like this and like that and it's like this and like that and like this and Drake creep to the mic like a fan.
Well, I'm peeping and I'm creeping and I'm creeping, but I damn near got kept, cause my beeper kept beeping. Now it's time for me to make my impression felt. So sit back, relax, and strap on your seatbelt. You've never been on a ride like this before. With a producer who can rap and control the maestro at the same time with the dope rhyme that I kick. You know and I know I throw some old funky shit to add to my collection. The selection symbolizes dope. Take a toke but don't choke. If you do, you have no clue of what me and my homie Snoop Dogg came to do.
It's like this and like that and like this and it's like that and like this and like that and it's like this.
And we ain't got no love for those,
so just chill till the next episode.
Yes, it's that time, and hopefully Shane won't have any trick questions for me, because I got worked in the last one. It's the only reason, only explanation why I lost.
Can I get my gifts,
no,
man?
You know,
can
no,
I
you can't. You know what?
Can you? Hey, you know
you
what?
Can if you win.
Hey, Shane, it ain't nothing but a G thing, baby. Can I get my G?
Yeah. Now, why does that have to be a black thing? Why can you only talk to Shane about that? Like, I gotta talk to my brother about that, because the white dude on the show doesn't understand when I start talking G thing.
What's up with that? Shane.
Yeah, see,
I just want
here
you
we go.
Help we
just continue down that road.
I just want you to help this man.
Oh, here we go.
Give me my G.
Here we go.
I just want my G.
Here we go.
Just give me my G.
You know what? You'll get a G. You get a G. You win today. You'll get a G. Here's the question. Which two players were second round draft picks? Oh my God! Could we find any easier questions?
Oh, I might not know this.
You better get this. Nick Van Exel, Manu Ginobili, Xavier McDaniel, or Alvin Robertson.
Which one?
You have to pick two.
Oh,
two of those four were second round draft picks.
Nick and Ginobili.
That is absolutely correct.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Who was the first guy to wear a pair of sneakers in an NBA game?
No, I'm just messing with you.
You're crazy. I kid.
It's Mess with the White Dude Day on the BJ and Bucher podcast.
No, your face.
Four quarters of torture.
All right, here we go. All right. Which player was the NBA All-Star MVP in 1991? A, Magic Johnson. B, Charles Barkley. C, Karl Malone. D, John Stockton.
Well, John Stockton never won it. Charles Barkley won it in 93, and that was the only year that I remember him winning it. And the other two choices were...
Magic Johnson and
Karl Malone, I thought, won it, like... and Magic, that's too old for Magic. I am... because that was the year... I'll go with Karl Malone.
B.
What?
Charles Barkley.
He won it twice? Wait a minute. 91, 92... I thought he won MVP the year that they went to the finals and then lost to the Bulls in six games. Am I getting I'm getting bamboozled again?
1991.
Okay. I'll give you a chance to recover. Hey.
That was easy, Rick. Come on, man. Hey, Rick, by the way, Rick, John Stockton did win an MVP. It was a co-MVP with Karl Malone for the All-Star.
No, for that was All-Star.
Right. That's
what we're talking about. All-Star game?
Yeah,
I thought we were talking league MVP.
He said which All-Star? Player was the NBA All-Star MVP?
We gotta listen to the questions, man.
I thought we were saying NBA.
Which shoes did he wear, Rick?
Was he wearing shoes?
He had on loafers. He had on shirt shoes.
He was wearing sandals. All right, here's your question. Which player was both a teammate of Shaq's and an NBA All-Star? Nick Anderson? Rick Fox? Christian Laettner or Eldon Campbell?
Christian Laettner.
That would be correct. He was an All-Star in 1997 and Shaq's teammate on the 2004-2005 Miami Heat. Did you really know that?
I knew that. I knew.
I don't even know how you knew that because I didn't know that.
I knew that.
That is a weird...
I didn't know it until I read it.
I'm going to tell you why I knew that is because I was interested in Christian Laettner's career as how he handled going from like the golden kid in college. And I started following him when he went to the Dream Team. Like, because I thought, how would I handle that situation? So I tried to understand what he was dealing with. And for whatever reason, that caught my attention. How did he go from one extreme to the other?
Yep.
And how he was going to handle it? And what kind of effect that was going to have in his career? Because I think he got drafted by Minnesota. And I was wondering, how would I handle that situation? So I followed him. Don't ask me why, but I was just interested in his career. And
I didn't even know he was on the Miami Heat in 2004, 2005.
We probably don't even have to do the next question. I mean,
technically we don't. Let's, you know what? Throw it out there. Let me see if I can at least make it close. I don't want to get shut out.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to listen to the question this time.
Okay. All right. Okay. Who received the second most overall votes for the 2014 NBA All-Star Game behind LeBron James? A, Steph Curry. B, Paul George. C, Kevin Durant. Or D, Kobe Bryant?
2014 behind LeBron James. 2014. I'm going to say Kobe Bryant.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
1,396,000 plus votes to snag second place in the 2014 All-Star voting.
Well, if you're going to go 0-2, then go for 0-2 swinging for the fences. That's what I did.
Okay, so there was a technicality last week that I'm going to address, all right?
Yes.
With BJ's winning question last week, I said the NBA's leading scorer led the league in scoring, but I didn't say in overall points or in points per game.
Right.
So that's what Rick was talking about at the beginning of the show, BJ. Was that I didn't specify whether it was PPG, because Steph won PPG, but he lost to James Harden by 1 point in overall points.
In overall points. But we don't, not overall points. We look at the scoring. The scoring leader always is the guy who averages the most points and qualifies.
On a no call at the end of the game. Man, you lost.
Oh, wait.
You lost.
Hey.
But as a basketball player, points is scoring.
I get
so
that.
So it doesn't matter if it's PPG. Or if it's overall, the whole point is who won scoring.
But if it was who won in scoring and that was something that you won, then we would acknowledge that it that way. It's always recognized as the guy who averages the most points per game.
That's just because the analytics dudes don't want to keep track of all the numbers.
No, if a guy plays 75 games and averages more points. He's considered the...
Rick, I'm trying to defend my point here, man. I'm trying to defend myself.
I know you are, but I don't want to get lumped into the same category as BJ, who just cries every time he loses for no reason. Just like, He just cried. I mean, he didn't even have a case to be made. Okay, now here we go.
When is the last time I lost? I mean, when is the last time I lost?
2 weeks ago. You've won two in a row. I won the previous two. Don't have amnesia.
I can't recall.
Hey, by the way, we got to go. We got to go. Fourth quarter's coming up. We got to guess. Well, it's now our pleasure to welcome in a friend of the program, friend of the podcast, friend of both BJ and myself, Brian Veal Scalabrini. Brian,
now,
welcome to
Rick,
the show.
I mean, don't put me in the same, like, me and BJ's friendship is strong. Me and you, we're like, we're good, but we're like, you know, the bro hug. Like, me and BJ are hanging out. Like, me and you are giving the dap, how's the family, that type of stuff. But I am a friend of the program, no doubt.
This is like up Bucher Day. What the hell, man? The entire show. You should have heard BJ and Shane earlier, like, yeah, it's a G thing, like I wasn't even on the show. Like, he doesn't understand.
Scal, he don't know about the G thing, Scal.
He got that Jimmy Buffett. That's what he got.
Oh, now I get the big laugh. Hey, Scal. Wow. Hey, Scal, I gotta ask you, because this has been the topic for the last couple of podcasts. We've had people, we've had guests on. Somebody who near and dear to your heart, Mark Jackson, was on last week.
Nice.
Yeah, we tried to get you both on at the same time. It just didn't work out.
Scheduling, man. Scheduling.
Yeah, right. One of you was in the front of the plane, the other one was in the back of the plane.
No. One person is driving the bus, the other person is under the bus.
Oh, okay. Moving right along here.
But I do have to ask, you were in the media, you went into coaching, you went back into the media. Do you have any desire to get back into coaching?
I don't want those problems, man. I got enough, man. I got wife and three kids. That's enough drama. I couldn't have wife, three kids, GM, owner, players, coaches, assistant coaches, strength coaches, everyone getting out of their lane, man. I couldn't do all that. So I like where I'm at right now. I make my own schedule. I was supposed to be on with you guys 10 minutes ago, and I'm late. It's cool. It's all good.
Hey, Scal, you know, you do a terrific job in what you've done in making your transition as an ex-player, as a former player. But one of the questions I always ask to guys who've made that transition to the media, there's a fine line in there. You don't cross a certain being an ex-player. How have you done that, and how have you managed to do it? Because you do a terrific job. Clearly, you have a job to do as the media, but you also understand and respect the game and respect the players. And what have you done to really kind of really make a lane for yourself in this business?
Yeah, so, you know, like the players that I know and have been and played with, they're all getting older or are now out of the league. So, you know, like, nothing but love and respect for everyone that's done it. That's kind of like, if I stay in that lane, you know, like, stay away from the I'm hating on this guy. So I like, when it comes to my ex-teammates and stuff like that, nothing but, you know, love and respect. Now, current players, I have guys I like pretty much, like, you know, everyone on the Celtics. I'm a big fan of LeBron and watching him. I'm fans of, you know, Jimmy Butler. And I'm, you know, like, do I got these guys around the league that I'm, you know, I'm huge fans of, and I'm going to stay that route. And then I have guys that I don't like that much, you know, like their playing style, you know, is like one guy would be like Dwight Howard, you know, but I do commend him on what he's gone through and now where he's at in Atlanta and they're starting to win. So, you know, but the one thing, BJ, is
podcast headline, by the way, Brian Scalabrini likes Dwight Howard more than the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah,
film
no,
at 11.
That's not, well, some of the Warriors, not others. But the one thing that I try to do is, you know, if I do call it like wrong, and I do it all the time, I'm on air every day in the morning, 3 hours a day, I'm going to get things wrong. I call myself out on it. I'm not going to try to like continue to talk and try to make myself right. You know, like, I'm wrong all the time. And another thing, I'm a little kind of self-deprecating, you know, like the whole spiel, like, oh, man, you know, I never got any minutes, you know, and that kind of goes a long ways. But, you know, I got the one thing about players now is I don't think it's been being in the media and seeing and talking to other media people. They understand the game. I don't think they understand the grind. That's the thing that everyone thinks is drama this and drama that, man. The grind of 82 and the practices and the strength training and all that stuff day in and day out, I think it's like that's what probably gets to guys a lot of the times. Why does the playoffs not, like, you see the drama sort of go away? It's because you're not on those four games in five nights in four different cities, you know? So I think the grind is the thing that the media, and they, when they print and they write bad things about everybody, I understand. Like, listen, the guy has four games in five nights, he's down for an off night. And so that's the one difference I think that I am versus most of the general media.
Scal, talk to me about the grind, and I think that's a great point. Tell me, is it me? And I know I'm getting old. Why are so many guys today not playing every day? And what's your thought on it as an ex-player on guys taking time off to rest during the course of the season? I want to, because I'm conflicted on, I get it, but at the same time, I'm very respectful of the people who pay money to come see the players play. So what the is your take on it?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's let's go a couple routes here. Joel Embiid, I totally respect Philly sending him out on back-to-backs, right? I mean, the guy's coming off of a foot surgery, two foot surgeries, two seasons missed, fine. You know, that's a medical thing, and I respect that. On the other end of the spectrum, I respect LeBron. The guy has a bazillion miles, and everybody in the world knows he's playing in June, right? So there's two guys. And I would even say if the Warriors wanted to do that, they could, because we know they're playing till June. Everybody else, just play your 82. And that's kind of how I feel. Like, if you're DeMarcus Cousins, don't sit out a game for rest when you're only going to play till April 15th. Like, we all know when your season's over. I don't need rest days, right? That's fine. But LeBron has earned it because the guy – for what he's done, man, going to the Eastern Conference Finals every single year, going to the finals every single year, like that has ruined a lot of good players, great all-time great players. LeBron has learned how to manage that, and I tip my hat to him for that. But everyone else, play.
That's the voice of Brian Scalabrine. By the way, I don't know how wrong you are everywhere else you work, but you were way wrong on that Jimmy Buffett rip on me, okay? That was wrong.
Please ignore him, Scal.
Pearl Jam. Beach Boys. There we go.
That is so wrong. It's so wrong. Hey, speaking of the grind.
No. Answer the question, Buke.
Miles Davis. Miles Davis. I got stuff going on you wouldn't even know about.
I don't see you as like
a little Coltrane. Charlie Bird Parker at your ass.
Can you bleep that?
I'll take some Nappy Roots over.
Yeah. You know what that is, BJ? He's trying.
No. I am. Don't even think.
I don't gotta this do is that, no, man. I already
no,
got
this
it.
Is no wigger action. This is no wigger action.
Real on the chill, Scal.
That's so wrong.
You're looking for respect, man. That is so wrong.
Says the dude who buys a pair of shoes that can only fit one suit that he wears. That's how he's matching stuff up. All right, that was Brian Scalabrine, the one and only Brian Scalabrine. Hope that you enjoyed that. Remember, if you're listening on iTunes, you can subscribe to the show, and we want you to rate and leave a review for us. We'd love to hear what you think. It's the only way that we can find out what you think we could do better with the podcast. I know you love it already, but we can all improve somehow, some way. Also, you can check out our brand new website, bjandbuecher.com. We got a lot of other stuff going on there. We got writers that are contributing. I am going to begin contributing. I have a piece coming up about why I vouched so hard for Tim Hardaway Jr. on Twitter and created somewhat of an uproar. I'll explain my feelings about Tim Jr. and why I went down that road. You can only find that on bjandbuecher.com. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter @bjandbuecher. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll do it again next week.